Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right. Danny Woodhead is drinking a cold brew coffee that I bought him. Did I not buy you? Can we cheers? People can't. It's not going to make the clinking noise. But Danny, you and I, we bonded over coffee. And I was like, you know what? I can't pay you in physical dollars and cents right now, so right. I pay you in coffee.
And you know what's funny is when we were talking on the phone, yeah. I said you had me at hello. And I would agree with that. Like, I would agree with my statement. Not only did you have me at hello,
yeah,
you also had me at a cold brew coffee.
You today. Have an abundance of liquids. I mean, you've come in here.
Well,
are you a hydration freak?
Well, the thing Willie Taggart? Since we're in here for an hour, yeah. I also brought a pee bottle.
Just in case.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
We don't want to stop. Well, here's the thing.
The thing is, if you say, hey, let's go for about an hour,
I've wondered that. I've wondered if, like, I've had a fear of in the middle of, like, a great conversation on the pod, I got to go pee-pee in the potty, as I say to my daughter. And
that's why you wear shorts.
That's why you just, yeah.
And make it, like, wide enough that, like.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, obviously, you're not wearing underwear.
Of course. Who wears underwear to do a podcast? Nobody.
No one.
No one at all.
You ask any of the people that have really good podcasts, though?
Underwear free?
Never wear underwear.
Yeah, okay, that's true.
How do you get through a show?
I don't know. I mean,
you don't.
I'm nervous. We have a lot of liquid because you said that so you're not familiar that I'm doing a 5-day juice cleanse?
No, is that JP's?
Clean juice.
Is that JP's?
Yes, Jason. So Jason was on the pod, told me about this, and I was like, you know what? I got to get sexy AF in about 2 months to be on television.
You should.
And so I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'm on day three, Danny, of this juice cleanse. You seem like juicing would be easy for you because you are already – this one has
– now I could do it.
It has turmeric. Is it turmeric or turmeric?
You can call it what you want. It's turmeric.
Okay.
But call it what you want because you're you're in the baby stages of this.
Day three.
Right.
Have you ever done a juice cleanse?
No, but I'm saying in like, you know, health stuff. Like in the NFL, you had to know that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm kind of mad though.
Why are you mad? You want to do this with me?
No, but like JP never told me about this.
Well, listen. I mean, if you, I can give you his number right after this.
No,
and you can take it up with Jason.
No, I have his number, and I mean, I feel like I'm gonna text him and be
you
like,
gotta tell him.
"Bro, what's going on?"
4 pounds in 2 days, Danny.
Really?
Already 4 pounds in 2 days. Roof being raised for me.
I'll tell you what. At the end, you should just do like five of these. You got to do a 25, and like, it's just like you're
become
starving.
Julian Edelman.
Right.
Yes.
And all you do is just, and you don't even do that anymore. You just like get a Vitamix, and you're like,
boom. Use
broccoli.
Yeah.
Nothing better. Broccoli, water, turmeric.
Yeah. Is that what you're like?
It might give you diarrhea, but.
So far, that aspect of this has not been, I was nervous. Like I was going to be like in the middle of Hy-Vee and be like, we need to clean up on aisle three.
Bro,
situation.
It would have been tough if we were in here.
And that happens.
And it's like, oh my gosh.
It's one thing to pee your pants. It's another thing to poop your pants.
Nick has more diarrhea.
You don't want to do that. You know what was hard? So yesterday, my daughter was like, where do you want to go to lunch? She said Chick-fil-A. So I had to go to Chick-fil-A and watch everybody crush chicken sandwiches. And then you know what the hardest part of the day was? She didn't eat all of her waffle fries. I had to
the best waffle fries in the world with ranch. The first thing I would do is put her on the juice cleanse also. You know what I'm saying? Like
my wife's doing it with me, so
what's your daughter's name?
Mava.
So Mava, honey, I love you. Today at Chick-fil-A, we're going to get you a water.
We're having water.
We're having water.
Right.
And nothing else.
Or we're just drinking Chick-fil-A sauce.
Right. And that's
right now, so this kind of looks
Chick-fil-A
like Chick-fil-A
juice.
Chick-fil-A juice. It's a Chick-fil-A juice cleanse.
It's a juice cleanse.
And But I do not.
That'll get that.
Oh, that'll make raging, a real happy.
Raging
you know?
Diarrhea, though.
Oh man, I had to throw away a bunch of waffle fries. It hurt, but I was pretty proud of myself that I've put all that, I've had.
Could you have put it in a blender?
I could see that's
what
I'm, like.
See, like, what are the rules, JP?
Well, that's what the rules. They I should have brought it in. They wrote down like if you're dying, you can have a little bit of almonds. And if you're really dying, they said you can have a small salad.
What day are you on?
This
you
is said, day three.
And how many? It's five?
Mm-hmm. I've had almonds. I'm not going to lie to you.
It's
I've had almonds.
3 hours into day one, I had some almonds.
I hung in there. Day one, I was good.
You started scratching your
day
face.
Day two was exponentially harder than day one. I don't know what that – what do you think that is? You seem like Mr.
I have no Mr. idea. I do know things about things, but I can't say. I don't know if I could do a juice cleanse.
Really? See, I wrote down. I'm like, you.
I love the idea, but I just love food. Yeah. I do intermittent fasting though.
See, what's up with that? So my buddy does that. I'm
16
like,
hours
doing?
Off, 8 hours on of eating.
But when it's on, is it on?
No, like. Now that I've been doing it, I'm not like out of control hungry.
Really?
I eat like I normally would, and I just try to eat clean.
Okay.
So now on weekends I will not eat clean.
So weekends you just do your thing.
I do my thing. Okay. So sometimes I'll still intermittent fast-ish on Sundays, but like on Saturdays, I got donuts.
Doesn't
man.
That go against
I crush donuts.
You have donuts?
Oh, I love donuts.
Every Sunday?
Saturday.
Every Saturday.
We're Saturday people for donuts.
Okay, yeah.
I'm
what
a
kind of donuts you like?
Maple. Do you like maple?
No, I don't ever
really
had maple. Like maple, is that a kind of
so
donut?
So like you know the logs or whatever?
Yeah, the Long Johns?
Long Johns, yeah. Logs, Long Johns, depending yeah, on where you're, what part of the country or state you're in. But let's call it a log because it kind of sounds a little disgusting.
Gross.
Hey, get me one of those chocolate logs, right? That's why you have a maple log because then it's not weird.
Maple's more inviting and better. Yeah,
you can just have a maple Long John without.
Do you have any cream in the middle?
Vanilla, or
yes.
Whip, whatever you want to call it.
Yes,
it's so good. Just the white icing. That's all that matters.
And how many donuts do you have? Can you just stop at one?
No, I get at least two. Because if you're going donuts,
you're going for it, go for it.
Oh, right? I'm just gonna eat healthier. I'm gonna have
Come
one
on.
Donut.
I'm gonna have one glazed.
You're an idiot,
donut.
Right? No.
Okay, so, well, you know what I've realized is, in the spirit of throwing away my waffle fry or Mava's waffle fries,
how dare her get?
I was upset with her. I was like, come on, we're a team. Come on, step your game up. But I hidden calories eating your kids' leftovers.
Oh, so my wife and I did a Whole30 deal, and we realized how much just crap you
excess.
Eat. Just like, even if it's like a random, say you're buttering toast, you get butter on your finger. Like I have four
Lick
kids,
that that's, thing off.
That's like a tablespoon of butter after. You know
no
what
question.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that's calories.
Totally.
There's so much just.
Those things add up over the course of the day. You clean their plate.
Yes, they do.
I mean, that's one thing I'm like, I'm not doing that.
No.
That's a good
I agree. I agree. It's the amount of calories. I'm sure it's an extra 200, 300 calories.
I mean, that adds up at the end of the day.
At our age, it adds up.
It adds up. The one thing that is nice is to not have to worry about, like, are you the type of person, like, the second I conclude a meal, I'm instantly thinking about the next meal. What time? What am I eating? What are we doing for?
Yes, except dinner, because then I'm like, it's about time for bed. You know, because I'm getting old, man.
Are you like a 9:15 shutter down
yes.
kind of a guy? Really?
Oh.
What time are you waking up these days?
I'm still early.
Really? Like early, like 5?
5:30 to 6.
Barrett Rude on my pod. Listen to my pod if you're listening to my pod.
I will.
He wakes up every morning at 4:30, sometimes 4 a.m.
Love it.
Come on.
I love it.
You like that?
Bro, that's what I did. When I was in the league, it was 4:15 or 4:17.
Why, though?
It was 4:17. Well, because I'd get in early.
Yeah, I'd get your work done.
I'd get into work at 5.
Okay.
Sometimes 4:55, actually, but who cares, right?
Take me through your whole day. Back it all. Yeah, so yeah, you wake up. I want the entire Danny
so
Woodhead
it would
as
be
an NFL player to give it to me.
Usually 4:17.
4:17, you're up.
And then... Because I live 20 minutes away, I mean, you have to give yourself a few minutes, right? I get there at anywhere from 4:55 to 5.
Okay.
And then I'd start a workout. Then I'd work out for what, an hour? I don't know. Then I'd hot tub, cold tub, sauna.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, sauna?
Yeah. Yeah. Sauna or steam, depending on. And then your first meeting's at 7, 7:15. So I get there.
When do you eat?
Well, oh yeah, that's right. I would eat after.
I told you I went the whole,
sorry,
I went everything.
I'd eat after the sauna.
Okay.
And then you get into meetings from 7, 7:15, whatever, and then right. you practice. Gosh, what was it? Like 10:45, 11. So okay. you have meetings forever, which were the worst.
How
in
long
the world.
Is an NFL practice?
Depending. I mean, it could anywhere from 2 to 2.5, okay. 2:45, I think. Something like that, depending on the team you're at.
Okay.
And then you get back in. You eat lunch, probably 1, 1:30, and then you're hating your life because you still have meetings left, and you end up meeting till 5 o'clock,
and then you're home.
It's the worst.
So
I can't imagine, like, if someone said, "Hey, Danny, like, could you play a couple third downs in red zone?" Yeah. No, probably not. That's a lie.
Because of my injury.
I don't know. Because
you don't think
with the hamstring, that part of it. But like, if I, let's pretend I didn't have a hamstring.
Let's say at the end of the month, you got to play one game.
And it didn't matter how bad it hurt.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like, for one, it doesn't matter. You've got one game.
Well, I just don't know. With the hamstring
pulling it.
Nowadays.
You got hammy issues?
Well, because my last year, I pulled it off the bone.
Yeah.
So I can't say I have. Let's just say I didn't have the hamstring injury. Everything else feels up to par to play.
Right.
But more than anything, maybe physically I couldn't do it.
See, but that's
I could not do the meetings. I
really?
Could
that,
not,
that I was going to ask you. I wrote down, like, what do you miss about it and what do you
nothing.
Not miss about it? Yeah, that's
so,
amazing.
So,
you're
so like,
feeling great about
so like,
your
let's
life.
Let's get
right
a
now.
Pen and paper and write the things I miss. And I'd just still be holding that pen. And it's like, so what else do you miss? And I still have the pen. I have the pen right here. I miss nothing.
Nothing.
Now, I went hard while I played.
Yeah, like, right.
I cared about the game. I loved the game. Right. I just...
That's great, though.
Oh,
like, that's great.
It
great.
Makes it good because the thing is, there's a lot of people that they leave the game.
Oh man, Danny,
and
they don't know what to do with themselves.
They have no idea.
I've always said there needs to be, for some people, they need like an exit. They need like a therapist on how to like let go.
And maybe in some ways too. Maybe having the injury I had helped because
helped
I don't
push
know
you out the door. It helped me.
Yes.
The end of my senior year of basketball.
Because I had a no joke hamstring.
See,
like,
I didn't
to
have
the
anything.
Point where I don't. I have like 1.5 tendons in my. You're
right.
Supposed to have 3.
Yeah, that's not good.
So like, do you want to continue playing on that?
Yeah, it's like no.
Or can you?
Right. That helped. It helped for
that. Probably helped my decision.
I had plantar fasciitis, horrible, super bad. Both my knees were. Bad tendonitis. I was battling back spasms, all this stuff. Like, so by the end, when we lost to Florida in the NIT, I was like, I didn't pick up a basketball for like 2 months. And I
right.
like didn't want, because my body was just done.
Yeah.
Body was done.
I
thought maybe mentally you'd still like,
say
you know, every
so
once in a while.
Besides that hand, if we, not messing around or joking about people having a leg cut off, but if my leg was cut, like if we could put someone else's leg right there,
a little leg transplant,
I think I could go out like everything else.
Yeah,
outside of the hamstring, like I think I could
right
probably still play the
you
game.
You could still do something with it.
Yeah, and mentally, I have no desire.
That's,
and like,
that's great.
I
though.
Have, and some of it too was I was mentally ready to be done too.
Yeah.
Like I think that last year in Baltimore, the love of the game was kind of taken a little.
Okay.
Not because of, I don't want to say anything. I'm not saying anything bad about anyone, but like I think that year kind of helped kind of
right.
push me into retirement.
Right.
It definitely did.
Yeah, that's, I mean, there's so many people that when they retire, they don't feel good about it. They don't like. Do you? Are you at peace with how everything went?
I'm beyond happy with how.
Yeah.
Everything.
Right.
Like, there's nothing I would play back in my mind.
God, that's great.
There's nothing I'd play
that
back
is so
in.
Great.
In even my torn ACLs, my torn hamstring, my broken
right.
leg, foot. Like, I'm cool with it. Like, some people are like, man, I really wish I didn't. Yeah, you don't wish to have injuries, but, like, I mean, you have to admit, like, that crap molds you and kind of makes you who you are.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's like, man, don't you wish you went to Nebraska? Yeah, I do, but obviously I wasn't good enough to play there. You know?
Of course. You were not good enough.
But I wasn't good enough to play. But more than anything, it's like, it makes your story, you know?
Sure.
Like, just you going to Kansas and then coming to Creighton. And
it's
then
all a part of it.
It's all part of it. So it's like,
yeah,
I don't, there's nothing I regret.
Right.
I mean, are there some things that, like, do I wish I could have won a Super Bowl that? Yeah, I do. But, like, when I'm, just because right now, we'll say when I'm 45 years old.
Right.
Am I going to care if I have a ring? No. I don't, what's it going to be cool? Like, yeah, I'm out to eat with a stupid big ring. And they're like, man, how amazing was it? Bro, like, playing in the NFL was amazing.
Sure. And playing in the, you played in the Super Bowl.
Right. And the thing is, like, is that going to make me a cooler dude? No. Are my kids going to like me more? Or my wife?
Right.
No. Are some other people maybe? Maybe, but those might be people I don't even want to be friends with.
Right.
So, like, yes, in the heat of the moment, I want to win as many rings as possible. Yeah. But once I'm retired and done and hanging out with podcast people and golfing with my buddies, do they care if I win a ring? No, because it doesn't mean anything. It's not like I'm getting a gold jacket.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like one, not like a Hall of Fame one, just a gold.
Just a gold jacket.
A gold windbreaker jacket.
To go buy a gold jacket.
I kind of want a gold windbreaker jumpsuit.
I would think you could Google that and something would pop up.
Yeah. So, like,
you need to do that.
I have no regrets.
That's it. So I'd imagine you understand completely what Andrew Luck was going through.
100%.
Like, he was just like,
except,
man.
I don't. Yes and no. He had about 20 millies.
Yeah.
The thing is, and this is what I respect. I think you ask anyone else, it'd be hard to do. He could have, anyone that's booing him and stuff, let's boo him. Like, they could have booed him if he knew he was going to be on IR and just collecting checks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought it was so honorable to retire because he could have just
collected the
dough. He could have collected checks the rest
of
the year.
Right.
And then retired after this year.
Right.
And then they're $20 million out.
Right.
Like, $20 million. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of cash.
I don't know if, like, that's a lot.
Right.
Some people are like, man, he put the Colts in a tough decision. Who cares about the organization? Do they care about us? No.
Right.
They really don't.
Yeah, there's people.
Organizations, the franchises, like, yeah, they may kind of care, but, like, they don't care.
Right.
It's a business. It's a business for us, too. Like, being a player, it's like, well, you got to, and Andrew Luck didn't make a business decision. He could have made a business decision and said,
that's true. That's a good way to put it.
I want 20 mil.
Right.
Because I put my body through this crap. I deserve to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, the team, like, they don't care.
Right.
They if they can get what they get out of you, great.
Right. Yeah, that.
And I don't blame them. I understand it.
No, I totally understand. I mean, if you're just in a cycle of injury rehab, and you play and you're doing something that is inherently just going to put you back on, going to get you hurt again. It's not like if you rehab and then you go back to your desk job, you're going to be okay. Like, your chances are he was going to end up hurting himself.
Well, again. And the thing is, the injury rehab, everyone's, some people are, and I even thought about it too. It's like, oh, is, like, someone said he's, like, mentally weak. And it's like, no, obviously he's in pain right now.
Yeah.
And obviously he probably, his shoulder's still hurting him.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't just go away.
No. I tell people, I said this on the Fox show I was on. I think the biggest disconnect between fans and players is injuries and pain.
It's the biggest disconnect even from the people that you know.
Yes.
Like, my mom, I want to say 5 years ago, 6 years ago, came at, when we were in San Diego, and we had one of our four children.
Yep.
And yeah, crazy, huh? And she came out, and literally I was doing stuff every day, and I couldn't walk. Like, and she goes, "Oh my goodness." She goes, "I am now realizing what you go through every week." What people don't know either is even before I had that hamstring injury that like just yanked off my bone, during the summer, in the off season, bro, if I wanted to do something with my kids and my wife, like go to the zoo, I couldn't really.
Right. Because you couldn't be on your feet that long, walk around.
I would be walking around. I'd be like, babe, we got to get going.
Right.
I'm hurting.
Right.
Now I can at least,
yeah.
You know, like go to the, children's museum.
Yeah.
Or I can at least like see my children have fun.
And yeah.
Now they're not old enough to, you know, do grasp sports,
yeah,
or no,
right,
and do other things. So. But like I can actually, because I'm losing weight, I've lost weight,
uh-huh,
so like my knees don't hurt as bad.
Mm-hmm.
And
there are certain things on your body that'll always hurt.
Yes, there's certain limitations I'm gonna have.
Yeah,
because of the hamstring, because of
yeah
some of the knee stuff. Like I get it, but I'm saying like I can at least be more present.
Yeah,
because
totally,
like, I was in so much pain, even preparing for a season, and looking back, I'm like, how stupid was I?
Yeah,
because like I couldn't do anything, and I was like, I couldn't even go out with my kids.
Right,
it's stupid.
Right. Well, any concussions? You worry about the head stuff at all?
So yeah, I did have concussions. Do I worry about the head stuff? No.
Yeah.
I think there's some stuff. It's super real.
Yeah.
I think there's some stuff. I mean, I'm sure there's some stuff that. I think there's probably some other issues too.
Sure.
That might not involve the brain.
Yeah.
But I'm not, the reason I have no worries about it, and this is going to come back, and you know I'm a faith-based person.
Yep.
God allowed me to play for 10 years. He's going to take care of me.
Right.
So I have no issues. I have no worries.
Right.
His plan's been pretty cool, like up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's gonna still be pretty cool. And
right.
I have
just stop.
No,
once you stop playing football,
right? So I have no worries.
Well, the other thing with the concussion stuff. I mean, I think like if you deny it, like Merrill Hodge is one of those guys. It's like denying it. It's like, well, don't be stupid.
Right.
There's definitely a link in all that stuff.
There's some evidence,
but my thing is. There doesn't it still kind of seem like we're at the ground floor of like what we're learning about all this stuff?
I think we haven't. There's different things that might help it too.
Yeah. Well, the game's never the game's not. My line is the game is the safest it has ever been. But football cannot be safe.
No, and it's not going
to
be safe.
So if your mission is to make it safe, it'll never happen.
Then let's just eliminate football.
You can't. It's not ever going to be safe.
No,
it's the safest it's ever been.
The thing that's kind of crazy too is it's probably the easiest sport to critique on it,
mm-hmm,
because of all the equipment and there are some big hits. But like, they're never going to talk about it. But soccer is really dangerous.
Yeah, there's a lot of
where people hit, mm-hmm, heads. There's, mm-hmm, also like. The way they kick those balls and then they have headers off it.
Yeah.
It's not that great for you. I mean, but they're never going to talk about it because it's a worldwide number one sport.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like worldwide.
Yes.
And they're just never going to talk about it.
Right.
Because there's not helmets involved. There's not the big hit involved.
Yeah.
People get concussions all the time in soccer.
Sure. Sure.
And they're just, it's the fun thing. And another thing is it's the number one sport in America. Mm-hmm. So like, let's find ways to critique it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, when are we going to start talking about basketball and how bad hardwood is for 7-footers?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, right.
Have you seen those 7-footers walk when they're 42 years old?
Right. They can't
move. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, they can't move.
It's like they're 95.
Yeah.
A 95-year-old that has problems. Not like a normal...
A
not
good
like
95-year-old.
Yeah. Like... It's like a weathered 95-year-old.
Right.
Not like an in-shape 95-year-old.
Yeah.
Like a weathered 95.
Been through some things.
Like, holy crap, man.
Yeah.
Like,
Right.
Have you seen Charles Barkley walk? Love him.
Yeah.
Great on Inside the NBA. But
he's
man.
Hunched and he's a, or Kenny, even Kenny Smith. Kenny he's Smith. A guard. Kenny's, like, what's up with Kenny's knees?
I don't know, but he lost to Shaq in those races to the big screen.
Yeah. That's not good. Kenny needs to step his game up a little
bit. But I mean, we're not going to talk about the hardwood.
We're not going to talk about
no.
it. No. Not on this pod.
No. Maybe someone else. I love basketball too.
So do I. By the way, did you did get a shout out from Gruden on Hard Knocks. That was pretty cool.
He's my boy.
Do you know John at all?
Just through, you know, some Monday Night Football. Okay. Like you have the, you know, you'll talk before the games and production meetings.
We called it Shadron.
Shadron. But that's about as close as anyone's ever came. It used to be Chadron. And it's like, I don't.
Chadron?
Yeah.
We combined two names.
Hey, Chadron.
Chadron. All right.
This sounds good. We're going to just combine two first names, Chadron. I mean,
come on, man.
I mean, it's bad.
But that's got to be cool. You know, you talk about like the things, you know, like there's a ring, you know, how that makes you feel.
Right.
As much as a ring can be like a physical
embodiment. I was making
out
with the microphone. That was really
weird.
No,
just do it, man.
Okay, I love
it. It's great. Just make out, yeah. But like you get respect is just as important as like a ring. Like that moment there, I would imagine, goes a long ways.
Yeah.
For people that don't know, Gruden was talking about Danny picking up blitzes.
Yes, and what's kind of cool about it is people respected my game.
Yes.
And that's cool.
Yeah.
Like to be brought up to like younger players, like he brings up Le'Veon Bell and then he brought me up. Like,
yeah.
Like that's kind of cool because that means not that I left a stamp on the game.
No, but you.
But. Yeah, so
there's
like,
a little, yes. There's been a million, I don't know.
People
I
mean, do different
people
things.
People that do, but like a million different running backs that have done whatever. But like you
have
you
a little
have
niche.
An individual little trail and a little niche that is very specific to you.
Right.
That is cool, that you should be proud of, that clearly for Gruden to bring you up, like that speaks
and,
to
and
that.
And I think that's what it is, you know, when I'm done playing, I don't think I realized maybe the... Not the significance of my career, but just, I guess, maybe how significant or what people thought of me around the league.
Yeah.
So, like, something like that, that's cool to think or hear.
Yes.
And,
absolutely.
And I've never been, and everyone that knows me, you know me, like, I've never been one for like individual records or things like that. But to be noticed by a coach and a coach that's kind of respected is kind of cool.
Well, and the other thing, too, is, I don't know if there was anyone for you, but you know there's some little dude going to some D2 school, some small college school that's going to be undrafted, and you know who his biggest source of inspiration is? It's you.
Right.
That, never underestimate. I've talked to Doug about this with Kyle Korver, where it's like Doug could show up every day and go, someone came into this locker room, worked their ass off, and made it to the league. Like, That's something I think you should be proud of too, is you're a source of inspiration for some people.
And when you hear stuff like that, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
I mean, even like last year, I went to the Clemson Notre Dame game.
Okay.
And because I had a buddy that was a GA on Clemson and ended up getting to meet Sweeney's kids and Renfro.
Yeah, I was getting Hunter Renfro.
And like they thought it was cool that I was that they were meeting me, and it's like, I think it's kind of cool that I'm meeting you guys too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when you're like, just like
that's the stuff you should be proud of.
Yes.
Like
it's like, wow, that's really cool.
Right. A ring, whatever. Sure. Danny Woodhead, Super Bowl champ, whatever.
Who cares?
Like to me, there's a lot of people that won a Super Bowl. There aren't a lot of people that are sources of massive inspiration for people that have a dream.
Isn't that more important?
Totally more important.
Because in the way you carry yourself.
Yep.
And hopefully people saw you work hard, whatever it may be.
Right.
And I think it kind of comes back to, I hope people like see me as being a good dude or.
Right.
Or like something like that where I guess my story inspires them in some sort of way. That's way cooler than a ring. Would have a ring been cool?
Of course.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, and probably
you'd
more
rather
so
have won
for those
the game than lost,
right?
The game,
you know, but like, I think it would have been cooler for that year,
right? In the moment,
right? Because how much is Tom talking about last year? None.
Yeah. Right. That's But that should be the one thing that you, when you think about your career, like that's the stuff you should probably think
about. Yeah, that's, you know? it's a really, really cool deal.
By the way, with the Hard Knock stuff, I don't know how much you watched it this year.
I didn't. I saw clips. I have always watched it, but right. I didn't.
This year just didn't. It was outside of Gruden being hilarious, it was like wasn't that good. But do you remember when you were on Hard Knocks, did you go back and watch the episodes? Or were you too busy?
I may have watched a little.
Because I'm always
some reruns.
Okay, because I'm always interested, because clearly...
I just didn't want to... I knew that I was going to be on there. Mm-hmm. I didn't want them to try to portray me wrong.
Right.
Because you can take... Oh, so the Cromartie thing, he knew his kid's name.
I
heard the story.
It, yeah, right.
Because someone else was there, and they said, no, slow down. Could you tell...
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's and for
so
me,
that's look, that no, to me hey, that's bullcrap.
When
that's
you
production.
Think of Antonio Cromartie, that's the first thing I think of.
Yeah.
Oh, the guy that can't remember all his kids' names.
So he knew all their names, but they're like, "Slow, could you just slow down?" Wow. And he's like, "Say, I don't know their names, but Johnny, 13." but like that's what it was, and it's like that's bullcrap.
Right.
So like I'm watching it to make sure they don't make me look bad.
Yeah. Because that's clearly what they were doing. Because I think the Raiders
did a great
had
job
final
of it.
Cut or final say on what made it in and not, because like it was crazy to see all the craziness with Antonio Brown during the week, and then you'd watch Hard Knocks, and it seemed like not that big a deal.
Right.
And so clearly
that's
what was
is.
Being portrayed in the show compared to what was really happening, those two things weren't
it's like,
lining
what's
up.
What's going on? Like,
and so I always wonder, I think that's why, like in some ways I think Hard Knocks has changed a little bit, where it used to be like the hook of the show was like, you get the, you are a fly on the wall, you want to know right. what it's really like, this is what it's really like. To hear the Cromartie thing, and then to see this
like
stuff with
AB,
like it's like, this is not how it really is.
I mean, it's just it's a show.
It's a TV show.
Like, reality shows, are they reality?
Yeah, anymore they're not.
No.
You know, the initial, like, Real World, like, way back in the day, like, that was real, where it's like they had one hidden cam, and it was like guys were fighting and stuff, but like... Now it's just not like that.
Right.
But I didn't know. I didn't. So you watched, but you went back and watched a couple just to see if you.
And I wanted to know.
Yeah, well, I would too.
Don't make me look stupid.
Right. Right. Don't make me look a certain way.
Because you, what you do is you also wear a mic on your pad sometimes.
Right.
And I want to make sure, like, what I'm saying, because you know how it is in the heat of battle.
Oh, shit. You don't.
And that's the thing. That's why. And some people are like, "Were you ever mic'd up during games?" I said, "No."
Right.
They asked me, I don't know how many times. I said, "There's no chance." They're like, "I think it'd be a good thing for you." And I go, "No, it wouldn't. it would not, because I don't."
You don't want to be thinking about. You got enough. You have a job to do.
Yes, I don't want to be thinking about what I'm saying, because the thing is, I have four kids at home.
Right.
This stuff's going to be played back on NFL films forever. Right.
Right.
Or on the internet.
Right.
I don't want my kid, if I do something stupid, I don't want my kids to see that.
Were you, did you talk trash or anything? Or did you say?
Not
like,
really. Yeah, not a lot. Now, I mean,
my
favorite thing was when someone would say something, they'd be like, some of the linebackers or something, they'd be like, say like, "Oh yeah, you little white boy" or something.
Yeah.
And then like I'd break them off and I'd go, "Yeah, that does suck to get beat by a white guy, doesn't it?" I'd always say like that. And then they'd be talking junk, and it's like under the pile. It's like there was no hole.
Yeah, right.
And then I break them off and I go, How bad does that suck, dude, to get beat by a white guy? That's what I'd say. And then they won't say anything the rest of the game. Because it's like one of those you get hit right in the stomach and they're like it's actually like getting kicked in. It's like getting kicked in the nuts. You're like,
oh, verbally,
I got beat
a verbal
by a white guy.
Yeah.
That would be like a white guy covering me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
you can't let the white linebacker covers you. That can't happen, Danny.
No, what would happen is I'd walk out. I just accept my release,
right?
You know,
and you're out of the league.
And I'm back in Omaha,
and
Nebraska.
You're right back in Omaha recording a podcast. That's pretty much what would
that's exactly what would happen.
But you, the first time I ever competed against you was you were a seventh grader.
Okay,
I thought you seventh grade.
Bison Runza
at the Devaney. Yeah, I don't even remember what it was at the time. We were at the Devaney Sports Center, not playing the long court, but on the little
the
side one. And you were one of those guys, but you didn't talk trash, but you just talked.
Yes.
And I remember you were really little, but you, I was like, this
never been big.
Good. And then we played you when you would have been a freshman at Southeast.
Yes.
At our place.
Yep.
And Bo and I always talk about this. Do you remember? So Prosh, the Southeast gym, you have to go like downstairs.
Yep, I remember.
And there's another gym where the varsity, you know, during the JV game, we'd just be kind of warming up in the other gym. Never did another player from the other team come into our gym where we're shooting around and messing around except
Danny Woodhead.
Danny, as a ninth grader, as a freshman, you come trotting in with a ball with your North Platte stuff on, and Bo and I were like, and you come right up to us and start like, what's up? Yeah. And you start talking to Bo and I, and we were like, this little dude's got some nuts. You know, because we thought we were like number two in the, you know, we were like, man, you know, in high school, you think you're like,
what are you doing in my gym?
Wait a minute, the only dude that would be afraid of me is Kobe Bryant, Iverson, and that's it.
Right.
You know, like you have this irrational thing, but that was my first memory of you was seventh, when you were in seventh grade, I was in ninth grade. But then the best was when you trotted into North, it was North Gym. I talk about that to Bo all the time. I was like, this little dude.
I would say.
Came in and started talking. It was great.
Yes, And I was never a big like talker.
You didn't talk trash.
No,
but
if you started talking to me,
yes, right.
I wouldn't really talk.
Right.
But my swag went up.
Yes.
And
you just had confidence.
Yes, and I would say that. I would say I've never had a problem. And you ask my family.
Yeah.
Confidence is something that I've.
You were born with it. Clearly.
Yes.
I mean, when you were. So think about this. When you were 12 years old, 13 years old. I mean, that's a, relatively speaking, that's a young age, and it happened before that. But like when you walked onto the court, I mean, this was a ninth grade all-star tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And you were a seventh grader.
Yep.
And you took the floor.
And I think
like,
I might have been the best player on our team, too.
Yeah. You were really good. But you had a presence about you that even at that age, I was like, that guy's going to be. Not only were you athletically gifted, but you just had like the mentality too.
And not in an arrogant way, because I
not
my,
at all.
The way my family raised me, but I will say to whether it be in high school on the football field, on the basketball court, college on the football field, even the NFL on the football field, I went out there and carried myself the way I felt was. And not to take this, but that I'm better than you.
Yeah, that you have to.
And that no one can cover me.
I'm the best player.
In the NFL, like I loved looking at the linebackers before the game. I liked looking at the safeties.
Yeah,
because it's like you're not like my thought process was in trying to say this in a very
dude
nice
just
way,
go with
but,
it. I mean,
but
you
that,
can just
but
I mean,
that that I'm better than you, and I know it.
Right.
And to me, when you have someone that's like that across from you, that's when you get nervous.
Yep.
There are very few people that I ever felt that from.
Right. Like you went against?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like and maybe that's because of having confidence.
But okay. But because I wanted to talk about that. Like, because for me, that what you just described, I had it. I had it, and I went to college and I lost it because I sat.
Yeah.
I'm always amazed that people that can sit and still have
and still
that.
Have it.
And I'm telling you, Danny, once it leaves you,
it leaves you.
Like I'm telling you, like it's all of a sudden you're like, oh my God. I'm telling you, I played against Darren Williams, Brandon Roy, all these guys, and I was like, I'm better than all you people. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I got to college. I lost it. I lost my confidence. How did you, so do you think in some ways going to Chad Ron helped? Cause you were able to, your freshman year, I assumed you like, were you the man right away?
I started the third game of the year.
Okay.
So the first game, I had a few carries, ended up scoring a touchdown though. My first college touchdown. Second game didn't start, but I ran for over 100. And then third game I ran for over 300.
Damn, bro.
So the first game I started, I ran for over three
bills.
So,
did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I would say the thing is, I never, even once I got to the league and wasn't really getting the opportunities, I still felt like I was better than everyone.
I think that is huge.
And I think if you don't have that, it's hard. Because because I, more than anything, I played it in my mind that they're not playing because I'm undrafted.
Right.
You know, they're not playing because I'm undrafted. So I don't think, yeah, going to Shattern was great, but I think that was just my mentality. If I would have went to Nebraska.
That's it.
Like,
yeah,
if I would have went to Nebraska on scholarship.
Right.
Because you would've, I mean, I think I would have started as a freshman.
I do too.
But that's, it didn't work out that way.
And it didn't happen.
And it's cool.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, so every step, even when I got to the NFL, and it probably helped because the first few days of camp, we would do this one-on-one tackling drill. And so you have OTAs in, what is it, May to whatever. You had a ton of, you had 14 practices and then including your mini camp. Well, we did the one-on-one tackling drill, maybe it was close to every day, and I didn't end up getting touched until training camp.
You're shitting.
So really? I knew that probably gave me some confidence too.
Right.
And I think, and that's why probably the injury was really tough, because I was like, I was going to make the team. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I think in order to be great, you have to really want to be great.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people, I believe, say they want to be great, but they don't want to be great.
Mm-hmm.
They're scared of being
great.
They're
scared, yeah.
There's a lot of people that are like, yeah, I'm going to be all conference. I'm going to be all American. No, you're not. I know your mentality.
Right.
Like, if you're afraid to do this, if you're afraid to, you know, if you're afraid to show up early, if you're afraid to watch film, if you're afraid to actually do all the reps in your... Now, mm-hmm. Does that matter? No, but it's the mentality that matters.
Right.
Why did I go to work out at 5 a.m.? Because I thought I got up on you. Mm-hmm. I thought I got one up on you.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, everyone that came in, I thought I was better than that
you
day.
You had already beaten them.
Beaten them mentally.
Yeah.
I really believed it's like,
yeah,
you don't care as much as I do.
Right.
And that's kind of my mindset. There's not everyone wants to be great. They can say they want to be great,
right?
But a lot of people are afraid of being great.
Do you think the fear of being great is more?
And I'm not saying I was great. I'm just saying, like,
well, I mean,
but you know what I'm saying. I think you have to have that mentality,
right? Do you think that fear? You know, you say a lot of people want to be great, but they don't really want to be great. Everything you're talking about is that more mental or physical? Like putting in the mental. Is it more about your mentality?
I mean,
or putting
I think there's some physical, like, because you have to do it.
Yeah,
but I think a lot of it's mental.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that have talent, but mentally, like, it just gets too hard.
Yeah.
And it's like, I hated more than anything the college coaches or NFL coaches. All right, we got first, second, third, fourth quarter, and then they're like, oh, we got to run more overtime. It's like, that's stupid. Like, I don't need mental toughness. I hate it when people are like, who's mentally? I think you just, like,
you're either got it or you're not.
I don't think it's something that's, like, conditioned.
I don't either. I have this conversation with people all the time. Like, I think there's a certain element.
I think it's adorable to think you can develop mental toughness.
Yeah. And so that's just what I want to talk about Nebraska before we let you run, because we got about 30 more minutes here. So buckle up, brother. But I've always thought that, like, you either have it or you don't. I don't know how much you can drill mental toughness necessarily. You can maybe increase it a little bit, mm-hmm. but it's either in you or it's not.
It's almost like, are you gonna, you know, if say, I don't know, say you have a garden and you decide to throw in cucumbers, are you gonna water that and think it's gonna be a carrot?
Right.
You're not, because that's the stupidest thing you've ever heard of. Right? You're just not gonna grow, like, you either have it or not.
Right.
Maybe someone has it and they haven't tapped into it yet. But, like, to me, it's just like, that guy's going to be he's that guy. And if you still, he's still going to be that guy.
Right.
If you're a butthead and it's like, no, we're going to turn him into this great. No, he's still going to be a butthead.
Right. It's still the same dude. I mean, what have you seen? So let's get into Nebraska, because I think it's a good, I think that's a good place to go with it. What have you seen in the first two games? Because clearly right now the defense has taken a step and the offense hasn't. Now we can get into why with that, but what in general, what have you seen the first two games that's jumped out at you?
I think game one was a wash because I saw game one as a preseason game. Like, yeah. we're not going to show anything. I kind of like Michigan Army. Everyone's freaking out, and I get it because Michigan hasn't, you know, won titles, yes, whatever.
Right. They're under the microscope with that.
They're not going to show stuff against Army.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you?
No, exactly.
And it's, I mean, like, we really weren't going to show stuff against South Alabama. So game one, I really don't care about. I really don't. Colorado game, I think we just didn't choke them because we had them down
17-0.
We had them down. If we go up 24-0, they quit.
Over. Yeah,
they quit. And I think they just had that little like, if you go 20, there's you put in doubt in a team that's not great already. If you put a little doubt in them, then they're not going to come back. So I think the 24-0 would have just slammed the door.
Yeah.
I can't. I think it was tough too. With we'd have like some 3-and-outs,
yeah,
or a 4-play touchdown, and then you're in elevation. So what's that mean? The defense is on the field a lot,
and they clearly the tackling eroded. They look. They weren't. If you watch the first possession of the game, or not even first, but let's just go the first quarter compared to the fourth quarter, like it looks like a different team energy wise.
I agree, and early on in the year, you see teams getting cramps and stuff like that. Anyways, yeah. whether you're in Lincoln, wherever, the elevation, I think, played something into effect. We didn't make plays at the stretch. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that hurt us. Mm-hmm. And with our offense anyways, we didn't have a lot of long drives. It's like boom, 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 touchdown. And then there were some where just 3-and-out.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of getting a couple first downs, I think it just added up a little, and they looked a little bit more tired.
I agree,
and that makes things difficult. To me, I'm really happy with the defense. Oh, even with what happened in the fourth quarter,
right.
I'm okay with.
They've definitely taken a big step forward.
Oh my goodness! Like I don't even think it's close.
Right,
and so I'm very pleased with that. We just need to get a few more first downs in the game, and then we're not even talking about it.
Exactly.
And everyone's like, oh, we're 2-0.
Right.
So,
and everybody's feeling great. Oh, it took over the stadium, and man, it's...
Right.
It's
so, like, a couple things just go a hair different.
Right.
We win the game by 20.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds crazy, but it's just, like, one or two plays, we win the game by that much.
I truly think... They were closer to winning the game by 20 than losing, and they lost.
I agree. I felt like, and I'm obviously an optimist when it comes to Nebraska football, but because I believe in what they're doing. But also, we are still young.
Very.
We're really young up front, and that's if we can get a little bit better up front, I think that'll help us
because they can't. They are struggling to run the ball in between the tackles.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to Bo about this, and he brought up that they've not really been able to – they had the busted coverage to Spielman on the first touchdown of the game.
And that was because they had a middle of the field where Wandell went to the middle.
Yeah.
The safety grabbed him. The corner was grabbed by the outside receiver.
Yeah. And
it was just like – it was one of those
where it was like
good things. It worked perfect.
Right. They haven't really been able to take the top off the defense, and I think they're missing Stanley Morgan a lot more than I think we all thought they would.
I think Stanley Morgan was a little bit better than we thought.
Yes. And so
because you don't just plug in like Wandell, by the way, I think he's going to be special.
He's going to be awesome.
And
JD's a good player.
Yes. And I think the thing, if we can just keep getting them in space more, I love the idea of just getting guys in space, and it might be tough sledding running the ball this year a little bit just because of our line. Or when we do get in between the tackles, you know when that is when we're in empty.
Right.
Because we're taking another guy out. It's like we can run, which is called sub-O in the football world.
In the football lingo.
So it's kind of like one back power.
Right. So you're saying running Adrian Martinez?
Yeah.
I think that's their best.
I think their best
when
offense
they had to have it
is when you go empty and you either pass or you have a design run or you pass and he scrambles.
Right.
Because it takes another guy out of the box, and if they leave five in the box, just run it. If they or even sometimes four, if they leave six, throw it. and it's just a cat and mouse game.
Right.
Like just
yeah, just two, a numbers game, you know, just
exactly. So like in New England, what we did, obviously Tom didn't run, but we'd be playing against yeah. we'd be playing against I don't know, a dime defense or a nickel defense when I'm in, and that's what we do because then there'd be six in the box. It's like, okay, let's just run it with Danny. Right. Oh, there's seven in the box, or they go a bigger linebacker. You just go matchups, and it's like, oh, well, this isn't going to work right here.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like they're in base defense, and Danny's in. Well, Danny's going to beat the linebacker.
Right.
So let's just pass the ball. Right. And it's almost like you just kind of look and see, okay, this is what they have in there. Let's do this.
Right.
And I love the fact, too, of doing that because the defenses, they're not sure what you're doing mm-hmm. in empty. Like they can run quarterback power, or they can throw the ball.
Throw a little quick. Yeah,
so it's like it puts a defense into like they're the ones choosing what you're doing. It's like right. we think we're gonna either win or lose against the run, or win or lose against the pass. And hey, guess what? We can do both good with Adrian Martinez.
That's it. And so that, because I think it was telling that on the drive when it was tied 24-24 and they go for it on fourth down and Martinez scores, they went with what you were saying. They went empty, quarterback power, quarterback.
That's what it was.
And that's what it was. Do you think, because the other thing sometimes I think Martinez, there's two things I want to ask you about with Martinez. There seems like there's this hesitancy sometimes to just scramble and run. And then also within that, I think there's sometimes this fear with Frost on, do I really want to run Adrian 20 times a game?
And I get that, too.
I get that, too. But there's also, that's a hard thing to balance. Talk about what you would do. Like, how do you do that? Because I do think, like, sometimes I think Adrian can just, he had a lump. Remember the play where he, on the drive that they took the lead, he had a scramble and he stiff-armed the guy. Like, sometimes I think he could just do, when a lane, you know, what is it? There? You never go broke taking a profit. Well, right. That's for you scrambling, too.
Oh, for sure. And I think, because, I mean, that's like a check down, right?
Yeah.
And let's not get tired of check downs. Tom Brady doesn't get tired of that. And
no.
Maybe your check down sometimes is to run for 5 yards, and that's cool.
That's great.
It's hard for it's hard for me to say without seeing film.
Sure.
And understanding what Colorado does on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to give excuses, but he's still young.
He's like 19. That was his.
Like he could be our kid.
Very, very much so.
Kid slash brother.
Yes.
He's our godson. Same thing.
Yeah, godson. Yeah, right.
Like, I mean, it's a little bit weird that we're not his godparents.
I want to do a 23 you have two and check that out. But
you have two. So who are your godparents? Oh, Nick Bond, Danny Woodhead. Yeah, that's normal.
Yes.
But so I think it's hard to say right now. And because we're so new and it's just early in the season. Yeah, it sucks. But not no one. I'm sure there's someone out there. I didn't think we were going 12-0.
No.
And we have everything in front of us still just because the Big Ten. I think I really like where our defense is at.
Yeah.
And I think our offense will come along even more.
Frost had a comment after the Colorado game that I thought was really one of those comments that it hit me and I was like, He made the comment that he can't, talking about the wide receivers, I can't scheme guys open. Take me, because you were one of those guys that could run, but then you could also split out and beat guys. Like, I think there also is an element. To me, that screams like Frost is like, listen, sometimes you just got to win and get open.
Yes.
Is that something?
Yeah. I didn't see that comment because I didn't watch the presser, but I'm glad you mentioned that. At the end of the day, if you don't have every, like, that was what's so good about New England, and I've mentioned this before, is if you win versus man-to-man, you're playing.
Yeah.
Frost, he can't call a play that makes you win versus man-to-man.
You just got to win.
You got to get open.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's like, this is not going to work.
Right.
Right?
And I think there's an element of that. We talked about that with Stanley.
You can't even scheme to get open in zone. Like,
right?
You can scheme-ish, but like, old Scott's not running out there.
No.
He knows where he needs to be. And I think that's just the attention to detail you need,
right.
You know, throughout as far as with zone. But like, you cannot scheme guys open. Like some people, there's, say you're playing man to man, like, and you have an option route, like, Scott can't run it.
Right.
That's the correct play call.
Right.
He can't run it. If you just know what to do and you use your leverage, you use your speed, you use your quickness, you should be open every time. If I had someone on me that was man-to-man.
There's 100% success rate for you.
They should never cover me is right. What my thought process is.
Right.
And that's probably what Scott's thinking.
Right. But like, did you always have that? Or did you have to learn how to be a better route runner? Because that's
I had to learn to be a better route runner. But I mean, you should always think. I mean, one out of five should win, right? You should have enough good athletes on the field, which they do, that one out of the five should win,
right?
And you can't scheme. That's where everyone's like, oh, like just the observers that maybe haven't played or coached or been in it. It's like, oh gosh, like I don't know. What do we need to do? Like, that was a bad play call, isn't it? Well, it might have been a great play call, and maybe the guys didn't get open.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get open, it's not going to work.
Yeah. And I think there's a domino effect of like that making Martinez being a little out of sort, out of rhythm a little bit.
Things are quicker. If you have guys open, like look at Tua from Alabama.
Yeah. Guys are open.
I don't even know if open's the word. It looks like they're not being covered.
Yeah.
And that's not, and I'm not, I haven't watched the film. I'm not saying that's
Yeah, it'd be interesting to get the 22 cam. I would love to see that.
See, like,
yeah.
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of places, like, look at Clemson. Does Trevor Lawrence really have to, you know, throw it in really tight windows? No.
Right.
He doesn't.
Right.
Because guys are so open. And I mean, that's another conversation for another day, but that's why I think sometimes big school guys don't do well in the NFL.
Because
guys aren't running free, like, by 10 yards.
Right. You're saying quarterbacks?
Yeah. That's why I think quarterbacks struggle.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you look at, there is an element, you watch Bama play, and it's like, these guys are running wide.
Yeah, it's like, oh, and then people are like, oh my gosh, Saban's a great coach. Saban's a great recruiter.
I just think that's going to be interesting because it's hard to fix that. Like, for the receivers, like, because JD and Wandale are similar, like, slot guys that can do a lot of different things, but they need another wide receiver. I think in some ways the season hinges on they need another wide receiver to emerge as a guy that is consistently getting open, taking the top off of defense, something.
Yeah.
Or they're going to have a hard time.
Because it's kind of those two.
It's that, like, and then Maurice Washington, doing his thing. But he's not
tough.
Really. Yeah.
But that's tough because you don't have another receiver.
Yeah.
Now, maybe he could do some receiver stuff, and like when he's in empty, he can run a go on a guy or whatnot, but.
What about Mills? Have you seen? I mean, Mills.
I think he runs hard.
And that's one that, like, he runs really hard, but he's one of those guys, and
But how good's running hard if you can't run between the tackles? Like, that's the.
Yes.
Because, and that's where, like, you hear of guys that have great years in the NFL, like a big back. And then they have a really average year. It's like, well, they didn't have the same offensive line.
Right.
Like, where did DeMarco Murray go to Philly? Yeah. It was a different offense.
Mm-hmm.
He was running through, like, semi-sized holes in Dallas. And it's like, well, like, guys, like, just watch the film. Anyone that's seen an end zone cut-up, I remember watching him and watching Ezekiel Elliott. Now, Ezekiel Elliott, he's really good. But, like, we get the end zone copies because we're in the NFL.
Yeah.
And the size of holes that Dallas has
are huge. Yeah.
And I loved all my linemen. But
you didn't have that?
No, like the 31 other teams did.
Because that's what I feel bad with Mills. Or not feel bad, that's not the right word, but there's not a lot of real estate. But at the same time, he's one of those backs, Danny, that runs into the back of his blockers. Does that make, like sometimes he needs to, sometimes there could be cutback lanes that open up. Like sometimes just slow down a little bit.
And that's what you'll notice with college running backs anyways. Whereas I didn't even learn it until I was, you know, in the league.
Right.
But setting blocks up, like, in the inside zone where you're inside zone plays, you want the cutback, But in order to get the cutback, you have to run almost to the feet of the offensive lineman in order for the linebackers to suck up. So then say you run to the right, then the left guard, the center, they can get up to the second level and get the backers. So then you cut back.
Okay.
Where sometimes these guys are getting the ball and then cutting back already. And it's like, yeah, we would love to get back there.
But you got
to
sell it first.
But you have to sell it. Otherwise, if you don't sell it front side, it's never going to work.
That sounds
so. That's the whole zone. Now, some of the outside zone, a little bit different. But even some of the, you still have to, if you're running outside zone, you eventually want to get vertical. Mm-hmm. But you have to press it outside to make the defense think you're going outside, and then you cut it up. And I think that's the thing that's tough with college running backs, and I see it all the time. I'll be watching games. They're like, what an idiot. And it's like, he probably doesn't understand, but in my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, what is he doing? He could have had like a 15-yard run, and he got a 2-yard loss.
Right.
And that's because they just don't know.
Because because Mills comes from Georgia Tech, so his option, it was a lot of...
It's completely different.
Totally different, right? Mm-hmm. So do you think he'll...
Hopefully.
He's a guy that could, by game five, six, or seven,
I think he runs hard.
He runs,
But it's hard to say because you got to have... You do have to have a little bit of room to run, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And that's...
I just think sometimes he's just like a
it's probably because of the offense he was in.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean?
He's like one of those backs that just gets it and is just missile.
Right.
And it's like just...
I think he has a chance, but...
Right.
I think time will tell. And I think for the whole offense, the time will tell how good we're going to be.
Right, right.
I think we need to... Obviously, need to go out and have a good week this week.
Yeah,
and play well.
Get that confidence.
Just to get
back.
A confidence going into the Big Ten.
Yeah. Okay. Because we got 10 minutes, and I want to talk a little NFL before you run.
Go 7.
7 minutes. Yeah, okay. Sorry. 7 minutes. Let's hammer through this. You bring up the running backs. What are your thoughts on the running backs holding out? I mean, Melvin held out.
I love it.
Yeah. Take advantage of it
because we have such a short window that like you have to. Like, people don't understand, like, this is our business. It's our small business is our body. And you have to take advantage of, you know, all the years that you can get out of it.
Right. And so, sometimes it's one payday. It's one contract. You know what I mean?
Most of the time it is.
You got that one.
So I have no problems with it because the running back position, I think, is very undervalued anyways. Mm-hmm. So I have no problem with it. I'm saying go get yours.
Yeah.
Make as much money as you can.
Right.
I don't care about fantasy, even though I play fantasy. Melvin's on one of my teams. But like I don't care about it.
Yeah, whatever.
Like I really don't care about it. Right. Like who cares? This sounds bad, but like who cares about the fans as far as like the fantasy fans?
Get over it, dude.
This is your life.
Yeah.
Make as much money as you can because you're putting your body through crap.
Right.
So do what you can to make as much money as you can, and then you'll be done.
Well, and there's the other element of like, I could podcast till I'm 90, theoretically.
Right.
You can't, running back, you know, you have a shelf life with that.
I think your podcast at 90 would probably be a little weaker than it is now.
Is it on? Are we going?
Hey! Hello! Hey, did you
turn
hear me?
Turn down that music! Turn it down!
Hey, I don't want a promo. I don't want a promo music video.
Good commercial for the what now?
You know,
who is Rick Ross?
There's going to be a 90-year-old on Twitter that's like, that is such a messed up deal. These guys don't even know. They don't even know what 90-year-olds sound like.
Oh, man, that was bad. Real quick, we don't know what's going to happen with Antonio Brown and this new sexual assault thing that came out, but let's just... Let's say it goes away.
Say yesterday we're talking about it.
Yes.
Or two days before,
like when he signs. Antonio Brown to the Patriots is going to be a roaring success. No, yes. What do you...
Give me a quarter, and I'm going to flip it. If there's a place that's successful, I think it's there.
Right.
I think if he doesn't do well there, he's going to have a tough time... with his career.
Right. So it's
going after this year.
I think it was the right move by Belichick.
There's nothing that hurts New England because guess what? If he doesn't work out, they're still probably going to the Super Bowl.
Right. They look so good the other day.
They're so good, but like it's not going to hurt you. So flip the coin. oh, it works. Awesome. Oh, it doesn't work. That doesn't surprise us.
Right.
I mean, just because of what happened.
You've been in that culture, though.
I have an opinion that I'm starting to wonder if this was planned, not by New England, but right. by him.
There's some weird stuff coming out. There was some story that he consulted a social media firm on something. Like,
There's a little smoke to it.
They're like, this doesn't smell right, you know? Right. But you've been in that culture, though. Will he, I mean, Belichick's a guy that suppresses personalities, and it's like a,
right.
you know, hey, man, I don't give a crap about your...
Exactly.
Like, we're here to win.
If it's going
to
work, it's going to work there, and he better
right.
get ready to be humbled a little, because when it's third down and five, the ball's still going to Julian Edelman.
I
love AB. I think he's one of the best receivers in the league. If I'm the quarterback, I'm going to Julian Edelman.
Hell yeah.
I'm not going to AB. Yes, he's... I'm going to Julian.
Right.
And I'm going to continue to go...
And that was proven in the Super Bowl.
And guess what?
I mean...
It's... Fourth down and three, or fourth down and goal from the three in the Super Bowl, and we need a touchdown? Who am I throwing to? I'm throwing it to Julian Edelman.
You're right.
That's just what it is.
Right.
So if you can come in and be okay with that, awesome.
Yeah. And maybe, I'll tell you what, though, Danny, they get like borderline unbeatable. If he, you know, you flip the coin and it hits,
then they're almost unbeatable.
They're almost, because that defense, it's as good of a defense as he's had.
They're going to be okay.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, we got you out of here with 3 minutes.
Awesome.
You can go to the bathroom one more time, or whatever you want
to
do.
I just had to have one more moment with this microphone. Thanks for having me in.
Hey, absolutely. You can come back anytime, Danny. Okay.
All right.
All right.
A Parkville Media production.